for the arts. Art works.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Coming up, the president wants a 30% tariff on solar goods imported to the U.S., and we're going to talk about what that solar tariff is going to mean for us here in Florida in a moment, and later we'll open up the phone lines. First, one listener comment about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we got into a discussion about transportation and who should pay for transportation. Here's what one listener had to say.
At the close of today's program, it seems somebody was saying people don't mind paying for public transportation. We were talking about if it's mostly for something everybody used. I think they were implying that not everybody would benefit. But not everybody has to use a transit system for all to benefit. All of us reap the rewards of reduced congestion. And I think coming from this approach, we'd all be willing to contribute to the same.
Well, there was a listener comment that came in after yesterday's program. The president has imposed a 30% tax on solar equipment made abroad. And we're going to talk about that with our guest, Scott McIntyre. Scott is with Solar Energy Management. He's one of the local solar energy installers. His business is quite big, I think. And Scott, welcome back to WMNF. Great to have you here.
Hey, Rob. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So tell me, what do you think of what the president announced yesterday, that there would be a 30% tariff on imported solar equipment?
Well, it's obviously not good for solar in the United States and not good for solar in the state of Florida, but it's not as bad as it could have been because the Commerce Department and the plaintiffs, Suniva and Solar World, wanted a 50% tariff, so it could have been worse.
Now, is this going to help domestic manufacturers? If he puts a tariff on goods that are made in other countries like China, does that mean that it's going to boost manufacturing here in the U.S.?
No, not really, because you have to remember that these two plaintiffs, Suniva, which we bought their products, and Solar World, we bought their products, they're owned by foreign companies. Solar World's owned by the Germans, and Suniva's owned by the Chinese. But in terms of the percentage of panels used by installations across the United States, they were a tiny fraction, so it's not going to help manufacturing jobs. As a matter of fact, it'll lose employment. Approximately 23,000 jobs will be lost across America. So the real crux of it, Rob, is that for the first 2 years, it's 30%. First year is 30%. The second year is 25% a tariff. Those first 2 years are the worst punitive part. So the first 2 years will be the worst part of it. You will see a downturn in some installations. You'll see unemployment from installers and ancillary companies. And then at that point, when it's at 20% and 15% for the final fourth year, then it will probably come back up a little bit. So it's a temporary blip. Certainly not good for Florida because Florida doesn't even have an energy policy. But go ahead.
Yeah. So this is, as you said, this tariff is going to be phased out after 4 years. Was the solar industry here in Florida, was it calling for a tariff on these foreign companies?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, what we've been calling for is a simple energy policy in the state of Florida. So the tariff is just something that's a political move by Trump to temporarily appease his base.
Who are the big solar manufacturers that exist here in the U.S.?
Really, they were Suniva and Solar World.
But they were bought out by the Chinese and
Germans.
They
were bought out by the Germans. Suniva bought by the Germans. Solar World bought by the Germans and Suniva bought by a Chinese firm. So the irony is that Trump wasn't even helping Americans. Companies, he was helping the foreign-owned companies.
He was protecting them from foreign imports, the Chinese.
right, exactly. But again, it's important to realize that from a Florida standpoint, this is already an additional defeating aspect for the Florida market. We're anemic. We've only got 0.5% of the total energy users in the state of Florida using solar power, so it's a tiny sliver of the of the marketplace. And so certainly this is not good for Florida, but eventually we will come back and old white people will die.
So you said that Florida needs a solar energy policy. What would that policy look like? What should it look like?
Well, I think it's really not difficult because all you need to do is just look to North Carolina. North Carolina has is predominantly provided by power by Duke Energy, which we love Duke. We love FPNL because we do business with them. And the bottom line is that North Carolina has a renewable portfolio standard, which basically means we're at 2018 right now, and 20 years from now we'll get 20% or whatever figure we decide we want to shoot for from renewable sources. So a policy to sort of diversify our energy source, because right now we get over close to 60% of our energy from three natural gas pipelines. So a renewable portfolio standard is simply an energy policy for the state of Florida. We have none right now.
I wonder, Scott, could you tell me how businesses, I hate to ask that of a business person, but you're with Solar Energy Management.
SCM Power.
Yeah. You did that big installation at Great Bay Distributors in Pinellas County.
Correct.
How's business?
Well, business is good. We're across the state now and seven different crews at solarenergymanagement.com. And so, you know, business is good, but we've been benefiting from a strong interest from the public. The prices have been going down, dropping about 2% to 6% per year, and technology in terms of its advancement of additional power output from panels has been going up 10 to 15%. So we're benefiting from a strong interest from the public. Certainly there is an additional, still the last 2 years, of 30% tax credit. And regardless of what the tariff does, we will still have people and businesses being able to benefit from that. So really the long and short of this is it may add 10 to 15 cents per watt. Solar is sold per watt, Rob, and it may add 10 or 15 cents per watt for solar power systems.
I was reading some statistics. In 2015, the U.S. ranked fourth in the world in installed solar power capacity behind China, Germany, and Japan. In 2016, 39% of all new American electricity generation came from solar power, more than any other source. And by 2017, more than 370,000 Americans were employed in the solar industry. And if you compare that to coal, fewer than half that, 160,000 remain in the coal industry. So solar now employs many more people than coal.
Correct. And you remember, you've got all sorts of ancillary industries as well, from railings to clamps to wire to on and on and on. So a lot of people are employed in this industry. And if Mr. Trump is truly interested in energy policy, he would have a diversified energy portfolio. He would try to work to try to bring maybe perhaps a national renewable portfolio standard for the nation to truly get off of the dependency on foreign oil, because we do have that capability. We have 150 years of natural gas, and we would have the ability to get off of foreign oil if we really had a plan, but we still don't have a plan. But regardless, you've got a plummeting cost worldwide. You've got enormous demand worldwide for renewable energy, regardless of what Mr. Trump does. And so we will continue to survive and thrive in this industry at some point.
Scott, do your customers go into it because they dislike global warming and they want to do something about it, or do your customers go into it because they want to save money?
No, I mean, Great Bay is a great example. It's the triple bottom line. It's the people, profit, and planet. And profit is number one, Rob. Most people do. The numbers have to work. And so to that effect, if, you know, when this tariff is finally shaken out, some people in Florida Power and Light territory, since they pay a little bit more per kilowatt hour for power, the numbers may not work. They may be a little long. So in other words, instead of a 6.5-year return on investment, it might be 7 years and 4 months or something like that. So people primarily buy solar power, especially on a commercial level, based on a return on investment and internal rates of return. So it's about levelizing of energy costs and fixing that energy cost. And that's what solar power does. Because remember, in solar power, there are no moving parts, unlike a gas plant.
Do you ever give your customers an estimate as to how much they'll save on their electric bills? Do you ever go out?
Of course.
What's the general savings when you install a system, generally speaking, about how much do people save?
The goal for most customers, whether it's residence or home, at Solar Energy Management is to get in the mid-90s, because since Florida has no renewable portfolios, standard no energy policy, you never want to produce more power than you consume at the end of the year. So if you're at 92 or 93%, which is about where Great Bay is, then that's good, because at the end of the year, you're not selling additional power, because if you send additional power back to Duke or FPNL, they're going to give you 3 cents and charge you 7 to 10 cents or more. So the 93% would be the typical target.
Describe what you installed at Great Bay. Describe what kind of business it is for folks that don't know, and describe what you're powering over there at Great Bay.
Yeah, it was the Southeast United States' largest Budweiser dealership. It's a 220,000 square foot refrigerated distribution center. Their power bill was estimated to be about $75,000 a month. And we installed a 1.5 million watt solar power system on the roof. It's integrated into the purlins or into the roof system. And to date, for the last almost 3 years, it's reduced over 85% of their energy cost. Now, that's the equivalent of planting and CO2 offset of a planting 1.1 million trees. So it does address the triple bottom line: people, profit, and planet. But remember, business people, which is totally logical and we get it, the numbers, the financial numbers, and homeowners as well, the financial numbers have to work. And we can do all that. Imagine if you were in North Carolina right now and you were a Duke customer or FPNL customer for that matter, and you had a state portfolio energy policy which incentivized, in some manner, shape, or form, the use of solar power. That, combined with the federal incentive right now, would make solar power even more attractive and the return on investment even shorter. So a lot more people would be using solar power.
Does Florida give any sort of incentives at all for people that install solar on their homes? No, zero.
No. The only great incentive currently, which is in place, is the current net metering law. Net metering is the meter that you get for your home, which allows for bidirectional movement of power. So as long as that stays in place, the current net metering laws, then we should be fine here in the state of Florida. Obviously, if we had leadership, such as Gwen Graham, who wants to implement a renewable portfolio standard, unlike Adam Putnam, who has no desire for that, then we would have additional incentives to ramp up the use of solar power. At some point, since Florida gets the most radiant energy east of the Mississippi, Florida will be a huge boom. Solar will be a huge industry in the state of Florida. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, because we get so much radiant energy. But right now, we're in the solar dark ages, and hopefully we'll come out of it once.
All right, so you just endorsed a Democrat for governor, but last I checked, you were an independent. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Scott McIntyre is our guest, and he's with one of the local big solar companies, Solar Energy Management. Scott, what about federal tax incentives? Have they improved under that tax plan that was passed a few weeks ago?
Some businesses can take accelerated depreciation earlier, and so therefore it helps a little bit. And so the answer to your question is it definitely helps in terms, yes.
All right. And what about homeowners? Are there still tax savings at the federal level for installing solar?
30% tax credit is good until the end of 2019. And then in 2020, it goes to 26%. In 2021, it finishes up at 21%.
Scott, is there anything else you'd like to tell us about the tariffs that were announced yesterday on solar?
No, I would just tell people that, while it's not good, it doesn't affect return on investment, especially in Duke territory, for the implementation and use of solar power. So I would say take full advantage of the 30% tax credit, which is good until the end of 2019, which is basically saying, get it now. I would say don't panic, because this is just a blip on the radar, and sooner or later we'll come out of the dark ages.
Scott McIntyre, thanks a lot. What's your website?
SolarEnergyMGMT.com.
All right, Scott McIntyre, thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
Great to talk to you. That's Scott McIntyre, who's a local businessman who installs solar on both the houses and on commercial buildings. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And we're going to take some phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. We can talk about this if you want to talk about solar. I'm going to bring up some other topics, too. And one is that public education, public higher education, would take a hit under a preliminary budget proposal that the State House of Representatives rolled out yesterday. The House Higher Education Appropriations Subcommittee has proposed cutting community colleges by $64 million. Universities would lose about $217 million. State Representative Larry Ahern of Pinellas County, a Republican, and he chairs the Appropriations Subcommittee. He says the higher education portion of the budget has ballooned too quickly over the years, and he says the cuts are intended to entice universities and colleges to drain their reserves.
It's been overfunded the most of any silo over the past, 6 years. So in essence, all we're doing is sort of catching back up with that. And again, this doesn't hurt them operationally. It just says to them, you're going to have to go into your savings account to make up some of the differences.
That's Larry Ahern, a state representative from Pinellas County. The proposal is far from a done deal. The exercise yesterday is only the start of the budget process. Boosting funding for universities has been a top priority of Senate President Joe Negron. And Jeff Haynes is our phone producer today. You're listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa. And we're getting some calls. Let's go to Bruce in Sarasota. Bruce, what's on your mind today?
Do you still have the guests with solar power?
Let me ask Scott if he's there. Scott, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Scott's still there. Bruce, what would you like to ask Scott?
We just had, as part of the solar co-op, solar panels put on our house. And I got my first FPL bill that was completely on the solar panels. And the electric bill was way higher. I guess we have the net metering, and I guess it was generating some power. Would that be a problem with our system? Or is that... because we were so excited to get this first FPL bill because we thought we'd have like 90% saving, and then we ended up getting a much bigger bill. Granted, we used a little more power due to heating, but it didn't make any sense at all. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, my thoughts are is wait till the springtime, and as you mentioned, the winter, this last couple of weeks or more, you've had to use your heat strips and your electricity a lot. I have the same thing. I have solar power in my house. So wait till the springtime, and you'll make up the difference.
Oh, okay. So it's mainly, because I know heat takes up more electricity than AC, so that
exactly.
would probably explain it.
Exactly, yep.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that information.
All right, Bruce, thanks a lot. Scott, do you know if utility companies are required to read the meters every month, or can they read them from afar? I mean, do they actually go out and read the meters every month?
I think it's done via radio frequency, Rob, now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so they do it by remote. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Here's Stephen writing from Bradenton, and he says, it strikes me that the tariff is not about solar nor jobs, but about protecting and enhancing the current energy infrastructure that is oil and gas. It is Trump doing what Trump does, increasing his and his backers' wealth no matter what the cost is to others. That's a Stephen's email from Bradenton. Diane writes this. This is on a different topic. Scott, we're not to get any more phone calls on solar, so I think I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
I don't want to monopolize your time, but Scott McIntyre, right. Thank you so much for coming on WMNF.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, great to hear from you. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. Diane sent this email in. It says, vouchers for children who are bullied, ? Is this a current policy? I heard something last week, but it was unclear. Diane, that is an effort that is moving through both houses of the state legislature. It's a proposed bill. It was discussed earlier this week in the legislature. It has not passed the legislature, but if you're concerned about it, either way, you can pay attention to what's going on in the legislature. And the newspapers have been pretty good about reporting about it. We've reported some about it, too, here on WMNF. Let's take some more phone calls, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Gavin in Apollo Beach. Hi, Gavin, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, I had a question for Scott. It's a little off of what you guys have been talking about, but in the solar energy field, if a kid wanted to get into solar energy, what avenue would he take? Is there a university that teaches solar training, or do you do it at technical schools, or does he know anything about that?
You know, unfortunately, Scott is not here, but I know we've got a lot of listeners who are very up on that topic. So keep listening, and I think we'll have an answer for you shortly.
Okay, sounds great. I listen all the time. That'll be easy.
All right, Gavin, thanks a lot. Sorry, Scott's gone. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Stuart. It says here, Stuart in St. Petersburg. Stuart, is that you?
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. You know, when you talk about solar, and I'm a big advocate for solar, but when people, you've got to realize what solar does, and unless you really, truly have a huge system on your house, you have to be also proactive in making sure you do everything to help cut the cost. You know, if you still use an electric range, you know, that's 220. And you're not going to see benefits from that, you know. And if you have an electric dryer, that also, and if you use them, all these appliances a lot, you're not going to see a huge cut from solar. You'll see a cut in solar, but you also have to be proactive. I also have gas in my house. So I went from an electric stove to a gas stove, from an electric dryer to a gas dryer. All these things have helped lower my electric bill. You also have to have a very energy efficient AC. And if you don't, and you have an old one, solar will help, but it's going to take a lot of panels on your roof to really see an offset of your electric.
And Stuart, did you say that you have panels on your roof?
Yes, sir. And I'm going to a bigger system also.
How many panels do you have? How many panels do you have now?
I think about 20.
20, okay. And you're finding that you need more.
Well, I want more.
Yeah.
Okay, my system is considered a 5K system.
Uh-huh.
Okay? All right, and there's 5K. If you go over 10K, then you have to get an insurance policy on your home, which isn't that much as far as out-of-pocket costs, but that's due because of our legislature and Duke Energy saying blah, 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 whatever it is, because you know, they don't want you to have it. They want to make it as inconvenient for you. But you just have to be very proactive in what you do and look at it. And solar's not for everybody, you know. But I think it's one of the best things you could do for yourself in saving money, so long as you're proactive.
Okay. Stuart, thanks. Thanks for the advice.
Yes, sir.
All right. Great to hear from you. You too, 813-239-9663 is our phone number. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. There's a few other things I want to introduce as possible topics for conversation, too. But let's go to Paul, who's in Zephyr Hills. Hi, Paul. You're on WMNF. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
I don't mean to be the conspiracy guy, but don't you think part of this whole process could be part of he's getting up to his cronies and trying to see if he can make solar as unaffordable as possible, so then the fossil industry would be benefiting from this. I don't see him going after foreign oil and saying we need to put a tariff on foreign oil because we want to help our local oil. You know, so that's the question. That's just something I'm throwing out there.
Yeah, one of the emailers said it too. I mean, you could justify, I think, a tariff on foreign oil by saying that U.S. military ships have to patrol that region where a lot of that oil comes from, and it costs a lot for us to deploy our military overseas in the South China Sea and in the Middle East.
Sure.
And so let's put a tariff on it because we want to help pay for the expensive military budget we've got.
Exactly. I mean, that's why it's very convenient. Solar industry, which is something he was very opposed to before, is the first real industry that he's really trying to. I mean, and I don't know if they threw washing machines in there to kind of justify the solar thing, but it's kind of unusual. That's an industry that's anti-fossil fuel. So
yeah, and it's interesting. You're right. It's interesting the industry he picked. He could have picked the TV industry. Most of our TVs are made overseas. He didn't pick it. Many of our cars are made overseas. He didn't pick it, although some factories have come back. But you're right. It's very interesting. I don't know. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I don't think that you're that far off.
Yeah, well, and like I said, I'm in the aluminum industry. And we were affected a few years ago when there was a tariff put on Chinese products with aluminum. And what the Chinese did was they just moved plants to Indonesia and other parts of the world. So then, so I understand why they went a different route this time and did a world tariff as compared to a China-only tariff, because a lot of companies would just move their headquarters to different parts of the world and produce the product there.
Yeah, as American companies do when they're trying to avoid things. All right. Paul, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, great to hear from you. 813-239-9663 is our phone number here at WMNF. And let's go to Largo, where Mike is waiting. Hi, Mike. In Largo, you're on. What would you like to say?
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. With the vote that was just brought about solar, when it was misworded, what everybody says, and I believe it was from the power company, actually voted for it, found out that it...
You're talking about the issue on the ballot that was defeated, but it was an issue that was pushed by the solar companies. Yeah. And that was defeated.
Yeah, but it was going to benefit the utility.
Yeah, that's right. It was...
So my neighbor got a big solar system, and I said, do you have a battery that is charged? I'm not that smart. It's charged a tool in the shed, but he says, no, he pays the power company. He hooks up with the power company, and if he has an overage, he has to pay the power company on his...
Well, I think the way it works, and I think Scott just explained it, is that when you sell your electricity that you generate on your house to the power company, when you feed it back into the line, you get essentially, and I think this is true, and there's probably people who are in the solar industry that could correct me, but you get paid the wholesale rate. When you purchase power from the company, you pay the retail rate. So the retail rate is higher. So when you're buying power from the company, you're paying the higher rate. When you're selling it to the company, putting it online, you get the lower rate. So you're getting screwed when you generate too much electricity. And that's what he was saying. He said, you know, it's probably best to figure out a system that's going to generate 90% of what you need because you don't want
to. Because they have to handle it somehow? I mean, it's like a product, I guess, right? They have to disperse it somewhere. That's why you have to pay.
Well, I don't think you actually pay. You get paid less. That's what happens. Yeah, you don't have to pay for putting electricity into the system. You get paid less. If your name was Tico or FP&L, you would be able to charge the retail rate, but you're not. So you only get let's say, I think the example was 3 cents for what you generate, 3 cents a kilowatt hour for what you generate, and the example was 7 cents for what the utility generates. When the utility generates it, they get to charge 7 cents. When you generate it, you can only charge 3 cents per kilowatt hour.
But, you know, the idea that it's illegal to live off without power. There's probably a good reason for that. Anyway, I want more time. I'm all pro solar and those
stuff. All right, Mike. Thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Byron, who's in Sarasota. Hi, Byron. You're on WMNF. What would you like to say? Hey, Byron. I think you're listening to your radio and not your phone. Byron. All right, Byron, we're going to put you on hold for a sec. You know, one thing I wanted to air for you is this report from Florida Public Radio. And there's a move in Tallahassee to display In God We Trust in schools. I just want to get your take on it. We're going to listen to a report from Florida Public Radio on this issue that's making its way through Tallahassee.
Jacksonville Democratic Representative Kim Daniels is the bill's House sponsor.
House Bill 839 requires each district school board to adopt rules that require all schools and all buildings used by the school to display in a conspicuous place the state motto, In God We Trust.
In God We Trust can mainly be seen on money and even specialty license plates. So Daniel says, given its historical significance, why not schools?
In 1864, In God We Trust first appeared on a 2-cent piece. In 1957, a law was passed by joint resolution to declare that In God We Trust be placed on paper currency. This motto is inscribed on the walls of this great capital and inked in our currency, and it should be displayed so that our children will be exposed and educated on this great motto, which is a part of this country's foundation.
But Sue Waltonski with parent group Common Ground opposes the bill. She calls it, quote, redundant and unnecessary.
Currently, state statute requires that the state flag be displayed in a suitable place in an appropriate manner on the grounds of every elementary and secondary public school, and that the school boards furnish those flags when necessary. So what that means is that current statute satisfies the requirement to display our state motto, which is, of course, on our state flag. Common Ground is opposed to bills that fail to address real issues in education and waste taxpayer and dollars and time.
Still, that did not deter a bipartisan group of lawmakers from supporting the bill. Like Daniels, Destin Republican Representative Mel Ponder is sponsoring the House bill as well.
Time and time again, I think we too, as a culture, as a nation, even other nations as well, from one generation to the next, will forget the testimony, will forget the heritage, will forget the DNA of what the prior generation brought to the table. For supporting something like this, it is already our state motto, but also is a bedrock that we as a state and we as a nation have developed and become upon. And I think how great of us to put honor where honor's due and celebrate a bedrock of our nation of In God We Trust, so that when the kids, if they ask, if it's in their school system, we have a testimony to share of what it means to us as a state and us as a nation.
And for Pierce, Democratic Representative Larry Lee agrees.
We look at what's happening with a lot of our young people today. We're taking God out of everything. This country was built on God. And when you look around right now, just go into your communities right now and see how many young people are even attending church anymore. Many of them don't even value or respect life anymore. So I think this is a great move.
According to the bill staff analysis, district school boards will have to pay for the cost of putting the motto on the wall. Daniels says she doesn't see it as a significant cost. And while her measure has passed its first House committee, its Senate companion bill has not yet had a hearing. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Sasha Kortner.
All right, so that's a part of what the legislature is up to. They want to require that each school district adopt a rule that requires all schools and all school buildings used by the school to display in a conspicuous place the state motto, In God We Trust. So what do you think about that? Will it make people live in a more moral way? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. We still have no word yet from our vast audience about what field of study a young person wanting to go into the solar industry field should go into. What field of study should a young person go into if they want to go into the solar industry? If you've got an answer to that question, that was a question from one of our early callers. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Now, Adam writes this regarding this proposal to put In God We Trust in all the schools. He says, I want to know why our representatives don't respect the founding fathers. This new proposal is absolutely ridiculous. They want separation of church and state, so why don't our current representatives respect that, writes Adam. And Dennis writes this regarding solar. He says, we have a 7.65 kW on our roof now. All right, Dennis, thanks for letting me know. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. We're going to go to, we're going to try Byron in Sarasota. Byron, are you listening to your radio or your phone right now?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Byron. What would you like to say?
Well, I got a couple of comments. First of all, I was in school when they changed the In God We Trust, and my friends and I refused to say it. And the reason why we refused to say it was because our dads were in World War II, and they said the Pledge of Allegiance without In God We Trust.
Yeah, it was added in the 1950s to the Pledge of Allegiance.
And I said, if it was good enough for my dad, then it's good enough for me to leave it out. And secondly, solar, the problem I see with solar, it's just like drugs. Too many people, it's going to displace a lot of businesses once they go to electric cars and solar power. And they're afraid of what's going to happen. Michigan State University has developed window glass that's photovoltaic. And a friend of mine is trying to develop paint that's photovoltaic. And all we're doing is just dragging our feet. And it has to do with money, though. A lot of businesses, people that make catalytic converters, exhaust pipes, engines, they're all going to disappear. But I guess, and it's a good thing probably, too.
Well, and I think to those people that live in those old-fashioned industries, there should be some protection for their jobs and their livelihood. But if these are cleaner sources of energy and they're cheaper, why not?
Well, I have another question. We were in Finland, and I talked to some people from Finland recently, and they have a proposal of a guaranteed basic income. I think it's around $1,000, 800 euros for any adult, regardless of whether they're working or not, because they believe that people are going to be displaced and will simply not be able to find jobs someday because, you know, everything can be done by robotics or artificial intelligence. Just think the IBM Watson can make diagnostics better than doctors can because they can go through all the possible parameters faster than a doctor and more accurately. So I think a lot of jobs are going to be displaced, and we're going to have to come up with the idea that we're going to have a guaranteed basic income. And of course, people, we don't have enough money in this country. I just looked at all the houses along the Florida coastline.
Yeah, Byron, I think that's a big debate, and we're not having it in the country, what to do about the automation of jobs. Byron, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Really, yep. Really important topic. And our phone number, 813-239-9663. Here's John in Tampa. Hi, John. You're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. I just happen to be an atheist. And I find the whole thing to be, that whole proposal to be ignorant and arrogant. And, you know, I mean, I'm 64 now, but I went through 11 years of Catholic education, and I have some idea of what this whole, that whole kind of a concept can do, and it's just so arrogant that they think that God, you know, I don't trust God in my personal life at all, and I would urge others not to do so as well, not to mention, you know, believing in some dogma, you know, written in some 2,000-year-old book, which was, you know, various 2,000-year-old books.
Well mostly... John, here's an email from an angry listener, and I'm not sure who he's directing this at, but he says, leave it to some dirtbag liberal to have an issue with In God We Trust. Miserable people, right? So this guy from the 813-309... I'm not going to read the rest of his phone number, but here's a guy who thinks that apparently he emailed before you called in, but apparently he thinks it shouldn't even be discussed. There should be no discussion. I assume
no,
he thinks that.
I rest my case. It's a unbelievable arrogance. They, you know, because they believe what they believe, they think everybody else should believe that too. And I don't know where to. I don't even know where to start. It's
yeah.
just a
but John,
basic,
could you say? Could you say that you were hurt by your Catholic education?
Oh, my God, yes.
You think you were?
If
okay.
you really analyze it, I can go on for hours,
yeah.
but I won't.
Yeah.
I mean, they almost killed me several times. I mean, because of the AIDS
How did they
epidemic,
almost kill
being
you?
A gay man, you know, they ignored the AIDS epidemic, and it goes on and on and on. World population, people are breeding in ways that are not logical, and yet the Catholic Church keeps pushing this thing about, you know, condoms, and I can go on and on and on, and it's continuing to this day.
All right.
So I might sound angry. I'm not an angry person. I'm a very happy person, actually.
Okay. Well,
especially
John,
now that I'm retired.
Well, John, I'm going to read a bunch more of these emails and take all these phone calls. There's every line.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Thanks for sharing your views on the topic. Jim in St. Pete writes, I find the proposal to prominently display In God We Trust at Florida Public Schools an unconstitutional action that is clearly meant to demean and marginalize students who are part of a minority religion or choose to reject religion. It's clearly meant to divide and punish students who do not follow the majority belief. And Jim goes on to say, if this proposal passes, hopefully it immediately is taken to court and declared illegal. All right, Jim in St. Pete, thanks for your email. We're going to go to Pastor James in St. Pete. Pastor James, what's on your mind today? Hi, Pastor James, you're on. What would you like to say? All right, maybe he dropped off. Pastor, sorry about that. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Matt the Millennial in Lake Alford. Matt, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, I want to say that I agree with the previous guy before, Pastor James, who was silent for whatever reason. Maybe he'll come back. But, you know, I think we're going towards a fascist theocracy. The fact that we want In God We Trust everywhere, and, you know, to heck with all the other religions that you may or may not subscribe to. I'm also an atheist, but, it's just ridiculous. So because you don't believe in God, you're marginalized, and you're a bad person, and how dare you question anything? How dare you take your blinders off and look up or down or sideways and try to look at things differently than everybody else? Because you're not a part of the pattern, we want to get rid of you. Because if you're not a part of us, you're dangerous. And it's just ridiculous, man. And then with the whole, we're trying to do offshore drilling and move towards even more oil production in our country. And the rest of the world all agrees and knows that that's like the exact opposite, like, logical thing to do. It's just ridiculous. I'm starting to hate my country because we're so backwards. And it's really sad that I say that. But that's all I have to say today.
All right, Matt, thanks a lot. Thanks for joining the conversation. Thank you. Melanie writes this, in my opinion, if In God We Trust is our state motto, we should change the state motto, writes Melanie. Melanie, thanks for your views. Suzanne writes this, the country was not founded on God. It was founded on the right and freedom to practice any religion without fear of retaliation, writes Suzanne. Suzanne, thanks for that. I think that's exactly why we were founded. Randy in Palm Harbor says, the religious zealots are relentless. The far right wants to keep shoving God down our throats till we croak, writes Randy in Palm Harbor. Let's go to Pastor James in St. Pete one more time. Hi, Pastor James. We put you to the head of the line. What would you like to say?
I want to thank you guys for all the good work that you guys are doing to build the community. And I would like to invite all our friends and supporters that have been supporting the Haitian community for years to a prayer breakfast with the city of St. Pete at the City Hall. That will be the Monday, the 29th, at 8 o'clock, that we're going to start the prayer breakfast. And we have quite a few headsets that's going to be there. It's a prayer breakfast for the 8th annual anniversary for the earthquake that took place in Haiti. And as well, we will stand together for all the attacks that's going on in the Haitian community. And we try to invite all our friends and supporters to stand with us that Monday. And it will be the 29th at 8 o'clock. It's a nice prayer breakfast conference at the City Hall of St. Petersburg.
Oh, right there at the City Hall, okay. And that's this coming Monday at 8 a.m. And Pastor James, do you have a lot of friends and parishioners, congregation members who fear, are some of them faced with being sent back to Haiti?
Yes, sir, because we support help a lot of people that will survive and brought to over here for medical support. From Bayfront to the Tampa General. And now with the temporary status, we be able to help them to train them for skill, and now they start working. But with the president threatening them to send them back or not renew their temporary status or not giving them the opportunity to still taking care and provide for their family, this is what our community face right now. But we know if we stay divided, we will not win that fight, but we will stand together. It will be a victory for us and for what America stands, you know. That's, you know, we know we are immigrants here, but we contribute to the success of this country. And that's why we will ask everybody to come and show their support on that morning, Monday the 29th. And that will be a message that we send that we not approve of all these divisiveness messages that have been pouring in the Haitian community, because not only we want to be part of the discussion, but we want to receive the same respect that we give to the country that we love, which is the United States of America.
All right. Well, Pastor James, thanks a lot. Thanks for telling us about that breakfast this coming Monday at 8 o'clock at the St. Pete City Hall. Thanks, Pastor.
Thank you, sir. Thank
All right. You. All right. Great to hear from you. And you're listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa. And we're going to go to Dan in Tampa. Hi, Dan. You're on. What would you like to say?
I got a couple of 3 points here I'd like to talk about. First off is the Amazon thing. I was reading a little bit about that store out there, and I hear the lady who's, you know, like in charge of it and making a comment, well, the cashiers will have to now, you know, go stock and such.
Oh, you're talking about the cashier-free store out there in Seattle, okay.
Right, that are putting people out of work. And she says, well, the cashiers are now just be stocking. Well, I'm thinking, well, what happens to the stock guy then? You know, I mean, you're eliminating a job. I don't care how many ways you run it in a circle.
Well, that's really what Amazon and Uber and all these new businesses are about. They're about eliminating jobs, aren't they?
Absolutely, Rob. And number two, the In God We Trust thing. And I want to remind people, America was not founded on freedom even to practice religion. Because when they got here, they killed the people that were here that were practicing their religion that they didn't like. Right, Rob?
So you're saying that it's hypocritical for Americans to say that. So, isn't the struggle of America to try to live up to the ideals of those statements, not to give a pass to the slaveholders, for instance, when they didn't agree that all men are created equal, but to try to bring those words to their true meaning.
I understand what you're saying, Rob, but it's to the I'm speaking to the person out there that just thinks we were founded upon freedom of religion. We weren't, because the natives were here practicing a religion that we no longer wanted them to practice. So, because it was voodoo to us, it wasn't God, or that they thought of as God. It was the sun god, or and the god of night, or whatever they thought. It wasn't just one god, so they didn't like that. Yeah. But and I like to talk to all these so-called companies that are handing out these bonuses. I got a better idea. Give them $1 or $2 an hour raise, and keep your bonus. You give somebody $1,000 a bonus, Disney's going to give everybody $1,000 bonus. Give them $1 more an hour.
Yeah, it does increase your taxes, but it doesn't increase your base rate, and it doesn't increase your Social Security at the end of your working life.
No, it doesn't. So if you gave them $1 or $2 more an hour, they would do better, far better in the long run.
That's true.
Finally, if there's a tax person out there that can add to this, I wouldn't be surprised if these bonuses were tax deductible as well. And it actually comes out of the federal coffers anyway.
Well, that's a good question. All right, Dan, thanks a lot. Thanks
all
for
right, guys.
All right, good to hear from you. Kevin writes this, when U.S. Border Patrol agents pour out water left for border crossers, is that an example of the country trusting God? How about drones killing innocent women and children in collateral damage? Seems ludicrous to pontificate our godliness when our actions speak louder of evil than of good. That's Kevin's email. Here's another email from Eli regarding In God We Trust. I believe the political influence should get their priorities in line with the properly funded schools rather than pushing religious bias, writes Eli. Let's go to, we're going to go to Steve in Sarasota next. Hi, Steve, you're on. What's on your mind today?
You were talking about what college students should look for solar, as I recall a little earlier.
Yeah, if somebody wanted to go into the solar field, what should they study?
What you're looking for, the wording is energy technology, and that is your solar, your wind, your water, which also includes your battery technology for saving of your solar energy and so forth. A friend of mine, my goddaughter is over in Germany, but she really couldn't find something with a decent program in the United States. Europe is so far ahead of us here in the United States on that type of technology. It's like night and day. I mean, she's over there on her third year of college, and actually she's in the master's program right now, and she's going to come out there with essentially a degree in they call it energy technologies, is what you're looking for.
All right, and I wonder, do you think they teach that at USF, for instance, or community colleges around here? What do you think?
You know, I'm not familiar with the curriculum at USF, but I don't think I've ever heard that wording for anything, coming out of the college, programs. I mean, if that's something that, United States, really needs to work on. I mean, I drive all the United States. I'm a truck driver, and I see the fields, full of the wind machines and so forth. I don't see as many solar fields unless I'm not on the right roads, but I do see the wind. But I think, from my understanding, we are just so far behind on that type of technology these days for the United States.
Yeah, we are. Okay. We are. All right. Steve, thanks a lot. Thanks for that. The U.S. Trails China, Germany, and Japan when it comes to solar capacity. They're all ahead of us. They have much more solar capacity than us. Now, here's an email from 352, area code unsigned. The person says, tough spot to be in for the left, huh? Happy about autonomous vehicles, but worried about automation. Some folks drive for a living. You know, the ultimate aim of Uber is to go to autonomous vehicles. And Steve, thanks for your phone call. The ultimate aim of Uber is to get rid of all those drivers. That's where we're headed. That's what they want. So it's not, if you're an Uber driver and you're making, whatever you're taking home right now, 100 or 200 bucks a week or whatever you are, pretty soon Uber wants to do away with your job. And that's what Amazon's about, too, doing away with jobs, doing away with the hardware store job, the bookstore job, doing away with the job of practically any retailer. Sure, Amazon's building a few bricks and mortar stores, but by and large, they want to do away with the old way. Well, and maybe it's more efficient, but what do you do in that transition where people that own a bookstore are now out of work? What do you do in that transition? What do you do for the bookstore person? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Robert in Tampa. Hi, Robert. You're on M&F. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. It's a little disheartening to me that our legislators don't have a better grasp of American history. The idea that the country was founded on the back of belief in God. I mean, I happen to believe in God, but I also happen to believe in freedom of religion and freedom in general. I think they should change the state motto to freedom of religion. I mean, that was fundamental. And if you want to go back and do scholars or history on the founding fathers of the country, most of those guys were deists. They were one of their biggest fears was organized religion and the capacity to basically corrupt people's ability to live their life free, because they had experienced this. And a lot of that was the impetus for the first people coming over.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you're right on, because the people that came to this country, they didn't agree on religion. The Quakers didn't get along with the Roman Catholics, and the Calvinists didn't get along with everybody else. And everybody else thought the other person's religion was an evil religion. And so in places like Maryland, it was predominantly Catholic. Okay. But they didn't like the Protestants in the next state. So, this idea that somehow that we all shared the same religion, that's false.
It's nonsense. And today that lives on. I mean, that's prevalent in a lot of communities today. That if you
you live down south and you're not Southern Baptist, oftentimes you're not invited to the party. So the paramount, one of the pinnacles of the founding of this country has to do with freedom, and most especially religious freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and Robert, I'm sorry to say we're out of time, but thanks. And if the issue comes up again, the legislature, thanks. I promise I'll mention it again. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. And you can actually comment about this show and hear your comment tomorrow at 11 o'clock by recording on extension 115. And I'll play your comment back tomorrow. Thanks to Jeff Haynes, our phone producer. This is WMNF in Tampa.